I had to get the frogs out and put myself back on when I went through the dead man at the Mahon, when before you made the turn at first.
That was a no-no, putting the car back on the track yourself.
I remember chasing a bear down the track on 4th and St. David's one day.
And chasing deer along 20th and Fell.
I think that gave me the thing that gave me the, one of the worst frights when I first got on there, and guess who was my motorman? Harry. We're going up Lonsdale. You remember how Harry used to have a favorite habit of getting out the front of the car or leaning out the front window and putting the pole up, then getting out and letting the car go by and pulling the back one down while we were still going up the hill. And I'm sitting there as the conductor, you see, and I suddenly think, oh, I'm sure Harry's my motorman. There he is walking up the hill. There's nobody up the front of the car at all.
And who may I inquire, of this group, was responsible for the slow action of when two cars were operating on Lonsdale, who climbed out the back window over the roof of the car and leaned down and looked in at the motorman.
I can remember
running alongside the streetcar, and Harold Stackhouse was my motorman. And he looked out the side door, and here's me running alongside the streetcar.
Did the same thing with me.
Oh.
I didn't know whether to run up the front and take hold of the controller or open the back door and let him in.
How long did it take to go to Lynn Valley? You were saying at 40 minutes?
Half hour. We had to use three cars to keep the 20-minute service because you couldn't do it with two. But we weren't on a half-hour service.
At night, we used two.
At 9:40 at night, it went on.
Then half hour service. We used to just do the switching at 50.
50 at the Lonsdale end.
When there was three on, we had to switch at Williams and Ford.
Yeah. Well, Capilano then was the longest run then.
No.
40 minutes.
Two-car Valley.
Lynn Valley run at night was more or less of a flyer after 10:20.
9:40 used to come in.
It varied.
After the 20 minutes.
After the ferries.
Ferries went on half hourly.
Half hourly, and then the streetcars went on half hourly.
Fellas from the Capilano and Lonsdale would come in and stand on the barn and say, "Well, it's about time." You could hear that clee-de-guy coming down the boulevard. He comes through the switch and up into the barn, full juice on, and God, where does he go? Right straight through into the dirt pile.
Yeah, right in the dirt pile at the end of the car barn.
So we work half the night to straighten it up.
You were worried about the two Wardroper brothers, who both worked on the streetcar.
Yep.
And I can remember being a passenger in the car when they rounded the curve at 1st and St. David, where there was a feed line came into the car, into the overhead. And you must be very careful feeding up the juice to the car. And if you overfed it, it would blow the circuit breaker. And a normal man of normal stature would just reach up and slam back in the circuit breaker. But these two young Wardroper brothers were only about 3 foot front and safety. And they had to put the full brake on, stop the car, get the stool from the corner, put it underneath the circuit breaker, climb up on the stool, slam the circuit breaker in, climb down off the stool, put the stool back in the corner, and then release the air and start feeding it up very gently. Yeah. Very gently. And if you blew it, the passengers laughed like crazy.
How many men were employed over here for the only BC Electric?
By the time, 36 or 8. I think I was the 39th man. I started a little after Andy did. I remember I was 39th man.
Well, Ben, you were before that. What were they operating pre-war?
Oh, God. I couldn't have...
Well, Harold here had a seniority list.
I know, but that's after the war.
That was 1944.
Oh, yeah, pardon me.
I would say 24 at the most, the maximum was 24. And when I was the first one that came on, when after the one-man cars had started, they laid all the men off when the two-man cars were started. And when the first one that was hired back on was myself, and it was just like living in a fishbowl. Everybody walked out to the corner and was looking at you as if you were some sort of a queer with two heads or something else.
You had to be at least 60 years old.
Yeah, because everybody was well up in their 50s, most of them. And then when I came on, and I was a young snapper, 21. It was really something.
Well, they, to get down to the barns in the morning, I remember a chap in town telling me he had lived out in East Hastings. He had to walk from East Hastings downtown to the downtown barns to get the car out.
Sure.
Was that the responsibility here? You either, if you didn't have a car, you walked.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Vogue's father lived up in Lynn Valley, and Laurie was just a wee tad then. But his father used to ride a bicycle down to work, and he had the first car back up into Lynn Valley, and he would fire the bicycle up into the vestibule of the streetcar, and when he got up to Church Road, he would fire the bicycle out and wheel it over to his house and carry on.
I did the same thing.
Clarence, I left the 15th in the middle of the
down too.
Yeah. And if they called me out for an early run, I'd take my bicycle down, and usually it was Ed Howard that was on the first valley. Put it on the front of the car, and he would drop it off at 15th in the boulevard, and my wife would come out and pick it up.
And Phil, you mentioned old Ed Howard. He was in the Royal Northwest Mounted Police.
That's right, he was.
For 4 years, something like that. But anyway, when they had their centennial in 1973, old Ed, being a Royal Northwest Mounted Policeman, he was taken to all these formal dinners, and he was toasted right and left. Being an old Royal Northwest Mounted Policeman.
He had plenty to tell, didn't he?
He must have been one of the last ones.
Yeah, he died when he was, what, 94?
Who, Ed Howard?
Yeah.
Is that right? Oh, you've got a picture of Ed on his retirement day.
I got a, I think it was, or I don't actually couldn't remember what it was. You
know? He made it.
Yes, I started in, Russ Lewis and I started in 1945 until 1952. My mother and father lived at 892 East 17th. We moved to this address in 1934. My father was a real Western cowboy before even the stampede started. And I don't know what other information I can give you right now.
How long you were with the streetcar still? And then you transferred into the bus when you were doing
that? Well, the period of when they changed over, I think it was 48, wasn't it?
Six.
46.
46.
The last 46 car was the last of the Lynn Valley car.
I just 47. Can't remember.
One of you gentlemen mentioned we used to have fantastic foggy days down here, especially when I think the old beehive burners were in full operation
and
everything going. You were mentioning rocks on the road.
Days when we first started the buses, and they had no lines painted in the road. And at night, your other man, you were wanting them, you knew where approximately where you would pass him. But the roads were pretty narrow still then, too, so we got out and decided to put these rocks in the center of the road to see the curve at the top of Mahan Avenue and when you turn down to go down Keith Road Hill.
The one and only.
So the next time we come back looking for the rocks, somebody had kicked them all off the road. We couldn't find our way around the curve. But they didn't have any. For the first 2 years, I think it was, we never had the streets lined here. We had no lines to follow on the road. They were they were narrow, too.
Well, Phil, you remark about the roads being very narrow. My children find it hard to believe that I used to roller skate out to the Capilano River and go swimming and roller skate home again.
Sure.
And
well, Marine Drive used to be very narrow
before the drive, and it had the little cement curb all the way along.
Someone mentioned cougars. You had
that was Russ's place. We had the cougars there. We'd come home what about 12, hiking home after the last car.
It'll be 1 o'clock in the morning.
1 o'clock, yeah.
It'd be 1:20 last car.
From the boulevard in, there's just cougars everywhere screaming in the woods there.
And the frogs by the old mill pond.
Oh, yeah.
I
And then we had
you used to skate on that mill pond.
Sure, I used to skate there as a kid. They had a trestled sidewalk going through 17th, and it used to be up on stilts all the way through because it was so wet in there. I'm living right on the property now where it was all wet. It's all filled in.
And all the McVitie's living up there on 19th, they were really in cougar country.
I can remember as a very young man, maybe 8-10 years old, of the mill pond between Lynn Valley Road and Mountain Highway, just beyond the creek.
Yes, that was for a shingle mill.
That's right.
And Froome, he managed it, I believe. I don't think he owned it. He managed it. And it was one or two machines, shingle mill, there. And they used to go skating on that, just by Harold Road, behind where Nickel Wheels are now. There was a pond in there where they used to float the shingle bowls.
There was another pond on the, like on 17th too, where they had the mill in there.
Oh, that's where Diplock's mill
is. Yeah, where the Courtyard Road was in there.
That Wood Road, I did some research with Diplock, and the cord road they put in there and before the First World War, 1917, from Timber Mountain to 17th, and in to 17th, back out to Lonsdale, down to the foot of Lonsdale, cost them $38,000. That was a plank road, about 6 inches thick, 8 inches wide, and 6 feet long, timbers side by side.
I dug up part of it in my backyard. It went right through my backyard.
Yeah, but then way along past where Lewis has lived on 17th Street, there used to be a big bridge go over the ravine there.
That's right.
What the big cut goes down through there now on the highway. And just the other side of the bridge, there used to be a corrugated iron building. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
that was for the smallpox, I think, scare, about 1914 or so. Anybody that got smallpox, they'd take you up and put you in this corrugated shed at a hospital. Yeah, I remember seeing that quite well.
That was out when I was a kid. Then, of course.
And you were talking about the sticks. I used to go up to what is now the Capilano Highlands and cut Christmas trees and drag them all the way home.
And
up by the Mosquito Creek Reservoir. We used to get them up there, Capilano.
And at the end of the war, Phil, I guess it was after I was married, 1947, and I was determined I was going to find a Christmas tree, and this was before the time that you were prohibited from cutting a Christmas tree on Crown lands. And I went up Lillooet Road, and I went up Mount Seymour Highway, and I went up all the roads that I used to know as a young man. And I couldn't find a tree to suit me. And I came home and eventually bought a commercial tree. And my mother thought that was
disgusting.
What are you doing, Harry?
Yeah.
Buying a Christmas tree. And I've bought one ever since.
you remember the fellow that cut, you remember Mrs. Nye lived down in Lynn Valley Road, he cut it, well, just after they put the hydro line through?
Russ? I'm sure that Bill could find innumerable pictures from
Molly Nye.
Molly Nye.
Yeah, Molly Nye.
Know them quite well. They've already given us pictures.
Yeah. But you know that fellow cut that tree down up there, and that's when they first put that Bridge River power line through, and he fell against the power line. All that was left was the axe. he took off, but he left the axe behind.
And you remember old Holmes that used to live at the power line?
Ernie Holmes.
He drove a bread van. For 4X Bakeries for donkey shillies.
And then he got into he was a union business agent.
And his kids still are.
Well, Frank still lives in the old family home there at opposite Nye's.
Just side of Williams Avenue.
That's right.
Across from Molly Nye's.
And Molly's still there.
So you're mentioning putting Christmas, going up for Christmas trees. I know when we first came here, I had my brother going up the mountain and coming down, and the conductor saying, well, bring the tree on the car, and two or three would pack on these Christmas trees and pack them in the car and come down long since I got up at 13.
Is that thing still
Bill, it's odd that you should mention this because I mentioned to Bill, our Ben, Ben, a while ago, that when we were Gandhi dancing, and the foreman of the track gang would say, "Well, ho, we're going to replace a tie here," and he'd jump on the streetcar, go back to the car barn, and load a tie on the next car, put it in the vestibule of the car, and leave the doors wide open, and bring the tie back up to the
job you were working at.
Point we were working at, fire it out onto the street, and this is the way we operated. But to do it now, to run with the doors of a vehicle open, oh.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. If you ever want to see some pictures of the old-timers, Bill Hunter, back of the Line Gang, down at Haines Avenue, he has a picture. It's about this shape.
There's a fella to see.
And there's pictures all the way around it of the men that worked on the streetcars, and I don't think I would know one of them.
Well, that's right. Bill. Well, Sammy,
the prior to your time.
Oh, years before
that. The foreman, line foreman or something, yeah. Here for years. There's a guy, Bill Utterback.
It was made a presentation for some. Have you ever seen that picture?
Was asking the wife and I if we would go down
and
visit
talking
at their apartments. They have pictures
of
all the crews, all the different men that worked on the BC Electric. And she wanted me to go down and identify a lot of these men that she didn't know. So I said that I would gladly, anytime they wanted to have a get together, we would go down and visit them. Because my wife is Bert Hughes' daughter, and he was the superintendent over here. And we always thought that we could sort of jive pictures together and find out.
But you never did.
We've never got a phone call from her. But this is, and I was just thinking that there is a good hit. It's Fred Cliff's daughter, Dolly Cliff.